Hi, I'm Evan Lucas-Cunningham, and welcome to the Feel Better Every Day podcast, helping you connect with and take better care of yourself and create a life you don't need to retreat from. Welcome to episode 16 of the Feel Better Every Day podcast. Today's guest is the delightful Dr. Dina Glauberman, author of The Joy of Burnout, Image Work, and so many other gorgeous books. And she's talking about finding joy through burnout, image work, gratitude, and so much more. I'd love, as you listen, for you to think about your own experiences of burnout or near burnout and recovery. And I hope you enjoy the episode. So welcome, Dr. Dina Glauberman. Thank you so much for joining me on the Feel Better Every Day podcast.
I'm really excited to be here. I think it's such a great idea, really.
I'm so honoured to be talking to you because your book, The Joy of Burnout, massively changed my life when I'd been signed off in my last office job back in 2004. And the idea that there could be something positive behind all the anxiety, all the unprocessed trauma, all the burnout. And it then led me on this whole new journey. And then I got to interview you last year for Psychologies. And you've just been so lovely. You're known for founding Skyros, the retreat in Greece, and also for many, many wonderful books, including most recently Image Work. How long have you been doing all this, and what are you working on at the moment?
How long have I been doing all this? Should I say 50 years?
Wonderful.
50 years or more. Doing different things, but I think the things that are kind of basic is, one is the area of the imagination. Always been interested in opening yourself up to your vast imagination, understanding who you are, finding out your own truth. I was always interested in the truth. And I saw that the social truth that mediated by the language was going to give you something very partial. And the thing about imagery is that it goes really both personal and universal. And so that was always very exciting because it took me through all my difficult times. So image work is a big area for health and healing, for creative things, for understanding your relationship to life, all the things that life's about. Imagery for, and it's really, I'd say, brought me where I am now. And the other thing is burnout. I burnt out as well, didn't know I'd burnt out until 10 years later or something. Heard the word and I said, that was what it was. And that's when I realized that what people said about burnout, too much work, no life work balance, was just not true, because for me, I'd always worked too hard, and I'm sure you did, and no life balance, and as long as I was wholehearted, I was fine. It was when I became divided against myself that became a problem, and that's how I wrote the book, Joy of Burnout, because somehow you have to find, it's almost like your organism is standing up for joy, saying, you can't do this thing, you can't drive yourself to destruction. You need to find your joy again. And I burned out. I didn't get my full energy back for 10 years. So seven years. Yeah. And the other thing I'm very into is community. Creating Skyros. The first and foremost thing was that people would come to a place where they could be themselves in a community which I call a soul community, because it values you for who you are and who you're becoming, and not for your role as a traditional community. I was just talking to one of the Italian men here. I'm in Italy right now, and he's saying he can't go back to his hometown to live there because he won't be able to go to the hairdresser he wants to go to, the butcher he wants to go to, or anything else he wants to go to, because there are rules about that's his uncle and he has to do that, and that's, you know. So these traditional communities, they are wonderful for love and care, but not if you're a little bit different.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's why I call a soul community. And I've also started something here in Puglia, which is called Aurora, and also running courses, but also creating community.
And people can find out about, they can access links in the show notes so they can sign up and find out more. What would you like to tell me about, if you had all the time and energy in the world, what would be your ideal self-care, both for basic self-care and for connecting with the divine, if that's something you do in the morning?
Yes. So that was quite an interesting question, you know. So I do have this thing which I, I'll tell you the ideal, I suppose, and then I'll tell you what I really do. So I do have this thing that I learned from the shamans, that before you get up in the morning, you say, thank you for my life. And I've started also saying, when I remember to do it, thank you for life, because I think my life is like my personal life, but thank you for life. Thank you for the bigger picture of life. Okay. Then I'm in the ideal. I jump out of bed. I take a shower. This is what I watch people do. They rush out and they take a shower. And then they're all, you know, gotten rid of all the tiredness and everything. Then I would do my exercises after drinking only water.
Hot or cold or room temperature?
Just whatever's available. And then I would do my meditation, and my meditation is not the normal breathing one, but it's one about aligning your mind, heart and soul with your, well, your mind, emotion and body with your soul, and then envisioning the day and so on. It's a way of setting yourself up for the day. Then I would always walk to the cafe, and then that's ideal, real, and everything else. You have to go to the cafe, and it's partly because I live on my own, and you go out and you meet the world. And there is some research that says that the people that you meet, that those connections, are more important than, I've heard, than diet and exercise are more important than the partner at home. It's a really big deal to have that feeling of community around you, even people you hardly know, but you just say, good morning, how are you?
Yeah.
So I do that. Also, the morning light's meant to be good for you. And then I would take a longer, brisker walk and have my Fitbit to check, blah, blah, blah. Then I'd come back to have my tea and my breakfast. Okay. And the basic principle, which I actually do really, is that you have to set yourself up to meet the day. And set yourself up to meet the day. And I learned this when I had small children, that if I got up and I hadn't done that for myself, then I'd feel pushed around by their needs and demands.
Yeah.
But if I had found my little center and felt I knew who I was, you know, because I had to remember that every morning, maybe everybody else, remember who I am. Once I was settled, then it worked.
Yeah.
You know, then I could meet the kids with myself instead of feeling like a victim of what they
wanted.
So that's the sort of ideal thing. Now, the real thing is, well, sometimes I say something positive and sometimes I forget. I sort of struggle out of bed. I don't know that I jump out of bed unless I've sort of lain there for too long and I realize I'm going to be late. I almost never take a shower. I mean, this is why this is my big ideal thing. I think it's a really good thing to do. People always love it. But for me, I'm one of those people that find transitions difficult.
Uh-huh.
So the idea of stepping into a shower when I've just got up is beyond, is beyond my, I don't know, my ability to do.
Yeah.
So I've only done it a few times when I really was in a, you know, I had to do it and go somewhere. I have started to do exercises in the morning, and the way I started to do that was my trainer gave me a 3-minute exercise, and I said to myself, I can do 3 minutes.
Wonderful.
And it's now gone up to 9 minutes. I just trained, I checked it, but I'm still doing it. She keep telling me, do this, do that. And then I'd come back. She said, did you do it? And I'd look at her and we'd both laugh. So of course not. But now I do and it does help. And then I do part of my meditation, not necessarily the whole thing. But the thing I always do is the thing that we talked about. And is the visioning of the day. And what that's about is I vision at the end of the day being happy. What am I happy about? Or what do I feel good about? And how did I get there? And the end of the day, feeling bad. What's the bad feeling? How did I get there? And that really sets me up to see what attitude I need for the day. So, for example, what I haven't said to you is, before I did this podcast, I did that bit because I do that before everything I do. So my positive ending was that I kind of tuned into you and trusted you, Eve, which I do. And then I relaxed and it came out as it did. The negative one was I tried to present myself as something or other that sounded good.
Uh-huh.
And that was ended me up feeling bad.
Yeah.
So it clarified to me what I needed to do. And very generally, whenever I do that before a workshop, before anything, it always turns out that it's not about teaching as much as I should, but it's always about the connection.
Yeah.
When there's the connection, then it works. Well, that's the way it is for me anyway.
Absolutely. That's so wonderful. And the giving yourself permission then to relax into
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, I forgot to say, I do go to the cafe. That is in my real morning as well. I occasionally take this longer walk, but depends on how busy I feel. And I eat breakfast. And all my life, it's taken me 3 hours. Even when I was most busy, it's taken me 3 hours between when I get up and when I sit down at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people that's like for. Partly, I think I once had a stress test which said that
cortisol?
Yeah, is it the cortisol? Yeah, is too high at night and too low in the morning. So I think and it takes me time to get there. But whether or not I would be going for a walk or just sitting and staring with my tea, it seemed to be 3 hours. I think sometimes it's a bit less now, but I'm not the sort.
Yeah.
Writer friends who like jump out of bed, have their tea at the desk, and they're writing already for the first 3 hours. No, it's not. I can't do it. I can't unless I have a deadline, and then when you have a deadline, everything changes, as you know. But otherwise, 3 hours, you know, is my. So if anybody thinks they're slow, I'm probably slower.
Love that because it takes me a while. I have a really kind of long morning routine to make me feel like I can handle other humans. I can deal with humaning. I'm not one of those people who leaps out of bed and is immediately.
And I think the other thing is it's my time.
Yeah.
You know, and if I think, well, I have to go to the cafe in the morning and I'm going to have to do my shopping and this, that, and the other thing, I get anxious.
Yeah.
I need to have some time. And actually, this originated, I just remember from an, am I taking too long?
Have not at all.
So many years ago, when I couldn't get out of it, and I would put the snooze alarm on every 5 or 10 minutes for an hour. And I worked out that it was because in my picture, when I got out of bed, I would be bent over with my work. Because I was very busy then. So why would you want to get out of bed to do that? And at that time, I promised myself that I wouldn't do anything before I had a cup of tea. It was very simple. And that cup of tea got longer and longer.
Excellent.
But that enabled me to get out of bed because I was getting out of bed straight to work.
Yeah.
It was a space.
Brilliant.
It was a space for me. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that would benefit from that.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. So what about later in the day and before bed? What would be your ideal and what is the reality?
Well, I don't know what my ideal is for the rest of the day. I'm sort of more ideal in the morning. In the morning. A lot of my self-care is the imagery. So, so what happens is, as I said, I'll do that visioning exercise, and I'll do it, as I said, just before anything I'm doing, like a workshop or whatever.
Yeah.
I have an exercise which I love, which is called Golden Path.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you have two mountains, which are two opposite things you tell yourself, like, I'm no good, I've never been any good, or I'm so fabulous, I can heal the sick and raise the dead. And then you walk down the golden path in the middle and you breathe. You have a walking meditation and you get what the real truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Present moment, wonderful moment, as Thich Nhat Hanh used to say. And Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese Buddhist.
Yeah.
People that don't know. And who I loved. He was.
Yeah.
And so if I get stuck into stuff, I might say, I just don't know what to do now. I'm going to walk the golden path. So I go into my negative and positive stuff, and then I walk the golden path. I also do that if I wake in the night and can't sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
If something's bothering me, I might do the golden path. Or the simplest thing is I have an image of the light behind me, which is the light of the soul,
or
whatever you want to call it, and you just step back into the light. And you breathe, and then something is different. Then you see things differently. Or I have a consultant sitting across, and I say to this person, I'm feeling really awful. I don't know what to do about this. Can you help me? Depending on what I need help with, I might have a different consultant. Then I change seats and become the consultant, and I look at myself, and I have this question, what can you see about so-and-so they don't know about themselves? So I look at myself, get a sense. When I say look at myself, I look at the place I was sitting.
Yes.
It had some remnants of me there. And I get a sense of it, and I give advice. So sometimes I might say, I think you're fine. You're just getting worried about nothing. Or I might say, I think you're in a mess. And this is what you need to do about it. So those are some of the things that I don't find that works for me, that maybe works for most people, is that you get up and you do your work and you get everything done and you make sure to keep busy and you make sure your time is fully committed and then no harm is going to come to you. I think
the world is realizing that that is not the way forward. I think there's more and more about the importance of rest and we're not machines.
But it's not just rest. It's not about rest only. It's about coming back to myself, sensing what's the right way forward. Because I do notice that people who do that, they're very efficient. But when the time comes that they need to be creative and find a new way forward, that's more difficult because they're kind of more rigid in this thing of I have to get things done. And by the way, when I work with other people, like either work with someone like my assistant and my administrator, or work in a group, I try to start with a check-in.
Yeah.
So we both have a check-in. You know, me and my administrator, Lynn, we always start off with a check-in, which begins, I invite you to throw away what's on top of your mind and see what comes up from heart and soul. And then
I love that.
Really wonderful, because you throw away all the blah 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 and you really get in touch. We do that, and then we send each other love, and we do all that. And I think that is why we are still together after all these years, because I'm not a thing. And I also, just like this weekend, I had a master class for my diploma in image work.
Yeah.
And And I said, let's start with a check-in. And
yeah.
it was so important that we did that. It took a long time, but we were together and people felt supported. And it turned out had some difficult stuff happening. And for us to go straight into what we were doing would have missed that.
Yeah.
And one of the women, this like was inspiring because she had just been told by the consultant that she had a tumor and he didn't find a tumor it was.
Yeah.
And she said to him, in order for me to be able to work with you and trust you, I'd like you to get an image of this tumor. Of this tumor. So she asked him to do image work basically because that would connect her to him and she would trust him. And he did.
Brilliant.
And he gave her an image of of the tumor, which she found a bit scary. But she felt connected to him. So that was so interesting. She couldn't just do the work of this is blah, blah, blah. She had to make a connection.
Of course.
And I think that is real self-care. You know?
Yeah.
And my experience of meetings where you don't do that is everybody comes with their stuff. And if it's not good stuff, you've had a bad time or a bad time coming to work, it all flies all around the place.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really important to me.
I love that because it's self-care in relation to the people that you're spending the day with.
Yes.
And is there anything else, like kind of in terms of winding down, or anything else that you'd like to add about ideal and essential? Or
okay, so I think you were asking about the night routine.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that I do try to finish working early, but that's probably because I'm hopeless at night. I just don't want to do it. You know, I'm done. And I do try to eat early and not to eat afterwards, sometimes extremely unsuccessfully. But I don't stay off the computer, as they say, stay off the screens, because I'm in Italy right now for 2 months and so on. The people that I'm close to, a lot of them are not here.
Yeah.
Been connecting with people on Skype, more important than not having.
Yeah.
So I spend the time on the screen very often with other people, and that makes me feel part of the world of people that I care about and that care about me. So I think that's really important.
Wonderful. Sound just went, but you were saying about how you're on Skype with people, and that's more important.
And it's more important to connect people that I care about rather than to stay off the screen.
Absolutely.
So I do that. And then when I go to bed, I tend to play a little audio of some kind, like a podcast or something, just briefly. I suppose it's the tradition of bedtime story or something. I never had those. I don't think my mother was an American. She came from Jerusalem, and I think the concept of reading to the child didn't cross her consciousness, but I think that thing of being able to listen, I don't that's another thing I don't do as much as I would want to, is read. I used to read a lot more, and now I tend to kind of listen, and I'm sorry, I'd like to get back to reading more, actually.
Okay, but I mean, they're different things, aren't they? I love that you're giving yourself that story time before bed in whatever form.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what you'd be doing if you could go back 50 years or longer and send yourself some love and advice around self-care or anything else. What might that be?
Okay, that's a good one, because that's one of the things I do a lot in imagery, is go somewhere else and look back. Okay, so let me just, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to really hear it. I'm going to go back to when I was in my 20s. Oh, you know, so I'm looking at her and I'm saying, oh my God, you know, you're in a hurry, aren't you? And you always think you haven't got enough time and you're never going to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish in life. And some of it is like really kind of great that you kind of lift new country, came to England, wanted to explore the world. But some of it is like, you know, you're anxious a lot, you're depressed a lot, you don't feel good about yourself a lot. And I guess I want to say, slow down.
Yeah.
I just want to say, slow down. It's all there for you. It's all there for you if you slow down. And if you slow down, all those things that are important will occur to you. But when you're speeding around the place, you're doing a lot, you're accomplishing a lot, and you will go on to accomplish a lot of things, write a lot of books, start a center, do a lot of things that make a difference in life to other people. But the pace is unforgiving of yourself. And if I could start all over again with you, I'd do it all slow motion.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Where can people find you online? I'll have the information in the show notes, but okay. What's your website?
My website is dinaglauerman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And find things about the center here, Aurora, about Skyros, about my books.
Yep.
About
your courses.
My courses. I'm starting a course with online events, Introduction to Image Work in January. Really great course, and then I'm doing one training course here in Italy by the sea in May, and then one in October, which is a retreat. And the courses in, I haven't done this training in Italy yet, but the ones here, we turn away as many people as come, because once people come here, they never want to go. And we create community, and people
yeah,
sit at great Italian restaurants and drink coffee in great cafes, and the groups are great also, but if it wasn't here, I'm not sure I'd be that popular.
So, I'm sure you would. You're brilliant. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate
thank you.
This.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Feel Better Everyday podcast. As you listened to Dr. Dina Glauberman, I wonder if you asked yourself about your own experiences with burnout or near burnout, and I'd love to hear from you around how it impacted your self-care, what you do to minimise, avoid, recover, prevent, however you deal with it. We live in such a busy world, it's really challenging sometimes, but there are always things you can do. And I'd love to know which of the things you've heard today appeal and that you might try. So please leave a comment or rate, review, share, all of the above. This episode, like all episodes so far, has been produced by me, your host, Eve Menezes Cunningham. And I am very much also looking forward to sharing next week's episode with my good friend Kathy Bishop, who's a medical herbalist specialising in vaginal health. And she's also the author of Your Power Portal. So we're doing this issue to coincide with the hips and reproductive organs element of the Love Your Whole Self chakra journey that I'm running over on Substack and on my blog, which you can find at evemc.substack.com or selfcarecoaching.net. And I hope you'll find it beneficial learning about how you can work with your hips and your reproductive organs to support your sacral chakra in supporting you and helping to begin to ground all the work we've been doing these past few weeks. Looking forward to hearing from you, and looking forward to sharing more next week.